Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C.
This half hour is presented by the Neal Chiropractic Clinic and Dr. Charles Neal, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I am a chiropractor, as well as the owner of the Neal Clinic located here in Pensacola on Creighton Road. Joining me this morning is Dr. Charles Neal, who founded the Neal Clinic, and after an illustrious 38-year career treating patients, he has retired, but he joins me here today because we are both committed to educating our patients and listeners. Because the healthcare world can be very intimidating and confusing at times.
Illustrious, huh?
Last week, we started on carpal tunnel syndrome, but we had some more questions coming in about frozen shoulders, so we never got to do too much on carpal tunnel syndrome. And this morning, if you have any questions, you can text it to 437-1620, and Ruthie will let us know that you need an answer. All right, so back on track. We'll discuss some carpal tunnel syndrome today, and I want to talk a bit about medications for pinched nerves, and Dr. Neal wants to discuss a little bit about stress and how that affects your pain levels. So first, let's get into carpal tunnel syndrome. True carpal tunnel is a wrist problem. It's a pinched nerve in your wrist that creates pain and tingling, potentially some weakness in your hand, and it's typically just your thumb and index finger. And so you ask the obvious question, what does the chiropractor have to do with carpal tunnel syndrome?
Hi, and the answer is a lot. Carpal tunnel is sort of like the leak I had in my kitchen ceiling. Where the water was dripping out was not where the leak actually was. That's just where it finally showed up.
And for a lot of chiropractic patients, carpal tunnel syndrome is one of the, by the way, problems. You know, those patients, they come in complaining of neck pain that kind of radiates into the shoulder blade or the scapula, and they typically will have some headaches, but you know what they don't mention? It's the carpal tunnel. It's that tingling in the finger or the thumb, and that's because they don't think it's a chiropractic problem. And I've got some news for you. It is. You know, 80% of the time, your chiropractor should know about your carpal tunnel because your chiropractor will be able to help you.
Ah, okay. So you're talking about double crush syndrome.
That's exactly right. When you have a pinched nerve in your neck and then somewhere further down, either in your shoulder or your elbow or your wrist, and it gets slightly pinched or impinged again, the combination of those two maybe mild pinches creates a major problem. And it has a medical name. They call it double crush syndrome because that nerve is being impinged and aggravated at two different places. And it results in some pretty severe pinched nerve symptoms that happen after that second pinch point. So if you're feeling hand or wrist symptoms, that may not be the main cause.
Yeah, you know, several years ago, I've been around long enough to remember some of these things, carpal tunnel surgeries were really common. I mean, it was sort of like the old appendix surgery. For a while, darn near everybody got one. You don't hear so much about carpal tunnel surgeries now. And simple reason, they didn't work. Way too many carpal tunnel surgeries were done on patients' wrists when the problem was actually from nerves that were pinched in the neck, closer to the origin of the nerve. The pressure from the carpal tunnel, that was a secondary issue, and surgery there did not solve the problem. And so these days, you go to your doctor and you complain about carpal tunnel symptoms, the first thing they do is look at your neck because there may very well be a pinched nerve there that's the origin of the problem. That's what needs to be treated. If you solve that pinched nerve, the carpal tunnel pain magically goes away.
If you don't solve the nerve irritation in your neck, they can and will do surgery on your wrist 2-3 times and never get results, because that's not the source of your pain. That's not the primary pinch nerve. It's just like we were talking about last week. Usually hip pain is not just a hip problem. It's a nerve from your lower back getting pinched and causing the pain in your hip. Fix the pinched nerve in the low back and your hip feels better. Just like fixing the pinched nerve in your neck and your hand and fingers quit tingling.
Yeah, so that answers the big question. If you're not sure what doctor to start with a chiropractic opinion. If your chiropractor finds that the nerves in your neck are healthy, then it may actually be a true carpal tunnel syndrome. And guess what? Your chiropractor can send you to the specialist for that. But I got to tell you, usually the neck is a pretty big part of the problem.
And that brings me to another question I get asked all the time. When you have a pinched nerve, what can you take for nerve pain until we're able to, you know, calm down that inflamed nerve or relieve the pressure that's being put on it? Well, there's a problem with taking medication for pinched nerves. The body has a built-in protection that makes medication ineffective on nerve pain. It's called the blood-brain barrier, and it's actually a really amazing and wonderful thing, because if you have a viral infection, a cold, or the flu, the blood-brain barrier is what keeps the virus from getting out of your bloodstream and into your brain and nerves. So if you got a bacterial infection like a UTI, or you get a cut that gets infected, that blood-brain barrier keeps the bacteria out of your brain. That is really important. The body has a lot of mechanisms and deals with infections eventually, but if you get that infection into your brain, that can be very fatal very quickly. It's one thing to have that cut on your finger, get infected. You know, it maybe takes a little bit longer to heal, but it's an entirely different situation if that infection gets into the nerves. So the barrier that keeps infections out of your brain and the nerves also keeps almost all the medications from being effective on those nerves. So if you have a pinched or inflamed nerve, there's no medication for that.
Yeah, it's good news, bad news kind of thing there. But yeah, the fact is, the reality is, your MD will give you an anti-inflammatory medication to help with the surrounding issues that, the surrounding tissues that get inflamed. But if you're having back pain, a medication is not going to get in there and take care of the nerve problem. Aspirin and ibuprofen, those are the over-counter anti-inflammatories that are usually the first medications they'll recommend. And side note, Tylenol, or acetaminophen as it's called, the generic form, Tylenol is not anti-inflammatory.
The key here is, if you have a pinched nerve, in the medical world, again, they're going to try anti-inflammatories or muscle relaxers, because certainly that nerve's inflamed and you've got muscle spasms as a result of that. But the source of the problem is the pinched nerve. And once that is corrected, the pain and the spasms and the inflammation, all the symptoms, those all go away. Fix the cause and your problem is handled. So start with a chiropractic opinion, because it's unlikely you will have to have surgery and the pills aren't going to help solve the problem anyway. And we had a listener text in and they said, what causes sciatica and how do I relieve the pain?
You mentioned right in the very first part of the show, just a passing comment about hip pain. The nerves from your spine go everywhere. The nerves from your neck, those are the nerves that go out into the arm. We were just talking about those related to carpal tunnel. Think of sciatica as the carpal tunnel in your leg. When you pinch a nerve in the low back, those are the nerves that go out into the legs. And the sciatic nerve is the largest nerve in your body. Hold up your little finger and look at it. That's the size of your sciatic nerve. That's as big as they get. But if you pinch nerves coming out of your lower back, they go down your legs, and back and leg pain has a sort of generic name, sciatica. See your chiropractor. I mean, I hate to keep saying if it sounds like everything is a chiropractic problem. It's not really, but the fact is it's so common to have nerve pains and medication won't help. And usually surgery is not an option. And so nerve irritation, nerve pain is something your chiropractor can correct. I mean, it, you know, there's a saying, never ask a barber if you need a haircut. And never ask your chiropractor if you need an adjustment. Everybody can improve alignment a bit, but if you're having nerve problems, it's a whole lot more likely the chiropractor can help it with a simple adjustment, maybe some physical therapy. That's a whole lot more likely than the possibility that it's surgical. And if your chiropractor doesn't examine it, looks like yours might be surgical, first thing we're going to do, send them out to the surgeon to get an opinion. So if it's sciatica, if it's carpal tunnel, if it's whatever nerve pain going on, don't get all stressed worrying that you need surgery. Get a chiropractic opinion first. And actually, speaking of stress, that's our other topic for the day.
And, you know, the idea of stress causing your pain is often really misunderstood. It's pretty common, and I'd say almost most people come in and say, I'm hurting today, but I've been under a lot of stress lately. And, you know, that may be a factor with your pain, but I promise you that stress is not causing your pain.
Yeah, causing. I love analogies, okay? These are ways to explain things. Stress pain is better explained by me walking on a railroad track. If I'm walking down the railroad track, balancing as, you know, on the track as I go, I am pretty likely to fall over if you bump me, or even if there's a gust of wind, because it's a railroad track. If I'm standing firmly on the ground, both legs planted, it's tough to push me over. And that's what stress is. It's not your bed that caused you to wake up in pain. It's not a busy or stressful day at work that has you hurting at the end of the day. These are aggravations to the structural problem that you already have. I mean, the structural weakness makes you real easy to push over. I love these ads I see on television. Yesterday, I saw a TV promo for Dr. Ho's amazing neck pain reliever. It's a little massager. You can get them for cheaper than what he's selling on TV. But, you know, the question is, why do you want one? I mean, it's a fine thing to have a little massage, but it's not amazing, and it's certainly not a long-term solution. What you want long-term, get yourself stronger.
Absolutely right. A stronger back can take a lot of physical stress without the breakdown. If your structure in your back is way out, it's really easy to push you over. You're hanging on by your fingernails at the edge of the cliff, and if that structure is weak, a stressful day at work might aggravate it. Or that mattress that's a little older, you know, it's not the best one. It might have you waking up in pain. But again, keep in mind that that is not the cause of your problem. Don't go spend $1,000, $2,000 on a brand new mattress when that's not really your problem. Every mattress advertisement's going to tell you they'll fix your back problems and have you sleeping like a baby, and all those commercials, they look soundly asleep, and I really wish that was true, but it's not. What is true, when you are better aligned, you can handle a lot more of that stress. You've got some reserve capacity, so those things don't bother you.
Reserve capacity. It is a great concept. The concept of reserve capacity, true for your body, true for your brain. Personally, I'm glad I've got a good vocabulary because I forget a word sometimes. I'm of that special age where we start have to scramble through my brain, you know, looking through the filing cabinets furiously to find another word to finish a sentence. When it's somebody's name, it's a little bit more difficult. I start asking my wife, because she's in charge of memory, who was that guy with the red sweater we saw at the Smiths Christmas party last year? It's good to have a little extra in the bank, so to speak. The physical reserve capacity is powerful. Be a little bit stronger than you need to be, and you'll get over those body breakdowns faster.
And part of treating our patients is I'll tell you which muscles to focus on if you want to do a little strengthening. As we get older, no one's going to start standing up straighter and straighter and straighter as we age. You know, we all start collapsing forward into that flexion position everyone knows is kind of a sign of older and weaker. You've heard some experts say that sitting is the new smoking, right? We know smoking's bad. Now they're saying all this sitting we do every single day, kind of the same thing. Because if you sit too much, that flexed and sedentary life starts causing lots of problems. And I'm not saying you have to rush out to the gym and you know, become an Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's not the strengthening I'm talking about. Start simple. Walking is great for your heart, great for, you know, half of your osteoporosis prevention, your lower half. Walking is good to help your bone density in your low back and hips. But what walking doesn't do is help the back muscles that help keep you upright. Those muscles in your upper back and shoulders. And it doesn't help build good bone density in your arms and shoulders, you know, unless you've got hand weights you're using as you walk. But you build muscles by exercising them. And you build that bone density by exercising the bones. That's your full body challenge. You've got to move all your muscles and all those bones.
Yeah, we did most of a show on osteoporosis a couple of shows back. And that's what we were talking about. You know, walking is good, but it won't save you from the upper body weaknesses, the hyperkyphosis that is what professionally we call the dowager's hump or the little old lady hump. What you need is strong extensor muscles, the muscles that keep you from getting that old and bent over posture, the muscles that hold you upright. And Dr. McMillan can work on those problems, and he can coach you on how to strengthen those muscles you need to stay upright and standing tall instead of getting bent over and old looking. What you got to do is call the clinic, tell them you want to consult to see if you have a chiropractic problem.
And we don't have time to do justice on that, all of the strengthening and things for this show. So maybe that'll be a subject for next week. But I did want to talk a little bit about headaches today, and specifically that morning headache.
Oh, the morning headache. 37 years of practice, I have treated and talked to patients so much about the morning headache. And yes, you're right. We're not going to be able to nail that one down completely today, but it's important. Lots of people have those. And so whatever we start today, we will finish next week. And first thing to realize, first thing to know about headaches is cause. You know, the cause of your headache is obvious if it's serious overactivity. If you rake the front yard and the backyard and, you know, whatever else, hauled some stuff around, okay, we know what caused that. It is not so obvious when it was a positional stress or a chemical origin. And we will talk some about that. First of all, question for you, have you ever overdone it and woken up with a headache or woken up with neck pain the next day? Not everybody's had that happen, but if you have, I got good news for you. If you awakened with neck pain, and especially if it included a headache, It was probably a bad headache, first of all. The kind of headache that most people would call a migraine, since that's what we often call a really bad headache. But first of all, you want to understand why. If you overdo it physically, if you strain the muscles that run between top of your shoulders and up into your neck, they will spasm up. They will pull on the attachments at the base of your skull, and they're inflamed. They can cause a very, very stiff neck at the least, and they can cause an excruciating headache at the worst. Those of you who know your muscles, we're talking about the upper traps and the SCM muscles primarily. And of course, any strained muscle is going to be quite sore the next day. But if those are the muscles that attach up to the base of your skull, like these upper traps and the SCM muscles do, you can get a really roaring headache. And part of it is inevitable. I mean, a strained muscle gets spasm. It pulls on both ends. But the headache part of it, this is what we want to talk about today.
And a strained neck can come from a lot of possibilities. And that's part of the history I take. You know, I'm asking you about what you did, how this kind of began, what you did prior to all these things. And I talk to patients about this every day. You don't have to be in the gym doing shoulder shrugs with 100-pound dumbbells to strain your neck and shoulder muscles. I mean, that would be a really easy dead giveaway. You'd come in and tell me that. Try doing too much. But it depends on your specific strength and your spine structure. Again, because there are guys who can do those shrugs with the 100-pound dumbbells and live to tell about it, but they've been working up to that for a very long time. One common way that strain happens to many patients, you go on a trip with two suitcases, right? You've got one for you, one for your spouse, and nobody travels with a half full suitcase, right? You have available space in that suitcase, you're filling it up. If you're flying, you make sure to go to the bathroom scale and make sure it's 1 pound less than the 50 pounds that the airline's going to allow, so you don't get that big upcharge for your bag being too heavy. So now you've got two packed out 49-pound suitcases that you have to haul from your house to the airport or the trunk of your car. And picking those up, that weight is dragging down on your upper traps and your shoulder muscles, and that will strain your neck muscles up into your neck. And, you know, you probably won't feel it right away, but you probably will wake up with a neck strain headache the next morning. And again, that neck strain headache is a bad headache.
Oh boy, is it ever. So, classic neck strain headache will wake you up around 4 or 5 a.m. It will gradually get worse over the next 4 hours or so, and then it will fade out ever so slowly through the day. But that can cost you a full day of doing anything productive. They can be that bad. And I'm sorry, but the story gets worse before I tell you the secret to preventing these. If you got neck or you got structural problems, it may not be carrying those 50-pound suitcases that triggers it. You can strain your neck and have the spasms and maybe the headaches with just lousy positioning. The best example, one that I have talked with patients thousands of times. If your neck is structurally weak, bad positioning, usually that flexed forward position, that can trigger neck spasms, that can trigger headaches. That's why mama always told you to sit up straight. And that's why you see stories about the cell phone slouch. People tend to slump forward over their cell phone.
And that culprit, that's one thing, is that slouching over. Another big one I hear is people that sit up in bed to watch TV. And unless you've got one of those really fancy $4,000 bed frames that's going to sit you up in a proper position, if you don't have that, I guarantee you've just got your head propped up on pillows that are now straining your neck, and no one watches TV for 2 minutes and are out of that position, right? You're in that position for a long time.
Now, next week, we got to finish this because we're running out of time. The Neal Clinic, we're on Creighton Road. We are right across the street from Walmart. I say we. I am a retired chiropractor, but Dr. Ben McMillan is there.
some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic. Safe. Effective. Even money-saving. Just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.